1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here on the Monday edition of the program. The Bears want Carson Wentz, but I don't. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Jared Diamond. He covers baseball for the Wall Street Journal. We talk with him about some MLB Hall of Fame results, what's next for the Cubs into 2021, the Nolan Arenado trade, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Brian McDevitt is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Brian today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Well, you asked for it. You wanted it. You beg Ryan Pace week in and week out, give us a new quarterback, please. And now, you've got your wish. Congratulations. You've won a 1991 Dodge Charger. It's like in Let's Make a Deal. When they turn back the curtain and there's a Zonk over there, you're the person who celebrates getting a Zonk. Look, I have nothing against Carson Wentz as a person. Great guy. I even think he is repairable. If Mitch Trubisky is repairable and both of them produce right around the same margin, there's no reason to believe that Wentz can't turn it back on. Here's the thing, though. Why are the Bears giving up precious draft capital to acquire, in a sense, Mitch Trubisky? Why? Here's a fun thought exercise. All of you who hate Mitch, who think he's a bust, who want the Bears to move on, would you trade 2 first-round picks to get Mitch? The answer's no. Of course you wouldn't. No one would. No one will. So why would you do the same thing for Carson Wentz? No one has been asking that question. All of you who hate Mitch but want Wentz are being hypocrites. Would you give up that much for Mitch Trubisky? No, you wouldn't. You think he shouldn't even be in the NFL. But yet, it's okay. Don't worry. It's fine to give up draft picks and players and cut salary, pay his salary to get Wentz. That's acceptable. That's fine. Good job, Ryan Pace. All right, just want to make sure we're on the same page. When I saw this news and I saw this rumor first break, I couldn't contain my reaction. I was just utterly disgusted, not at the player, at the fact that the Bears were going to give up all of this for Mitch. Essentially, Mitch. No, no, sorry. Carson Wentz's passer rating is 2 points higher. My bad. So thereby, Wentz is better as a player. You know, it's funny. All of you hate Mitch for turning the ball over, being inaccurate, can't read defenses, right? All of you sit on Twitter waiting for Mitch to make a mistake. You criticize the guy for near interceptions, fine. But Carson Wentz throws more picks, fumbles the ball more, bench for Jalen Hurts, can't win a playoff game, always hurt, and that's okay. That's peachy to everybody. Give me a break. And no, this isn't being a Trubisky apologist. It's the truth. It's contradictory. Why would you want Carson Wentz and then run out of town Mitch Trubisky? They're the same quarterback. Same quarterback. I don't mind Wentz as a player. I think he can improve, just like Mitch. But I go back to this. Would you give up draft capital to acquire Mitch Trubisky? No, you wouldn't. Don't tell me you would. You wouldn't. But it's okay to do it for Carson Wentz. Right. I have no answers. I know Pace and Nagy, they're under the gun. They need to win or else their jobs are gone. I understand. It's a business. I get it. But this goes to show you who's being selfish and who cares about the team. They're being selfish. They're worried about their jobs. They're not worried about the long-term future of the Chicago Bears. And that's going to come back to bite them. And also, how do you know Carson Wentz would do great here? Seriously. Nagy didn't work with Mitch. And that wasn't Mitch's fault. Nagy didn't conform to him. You think Nagy's going to conform to Wentz? Versus, for example, Wentz going to Indianapolis with Frank Reich? If Wentz went to Indianapolis, I think he'd be fixed. If he came here, he might get worse. All because of the coaching and the help he needs to succeed. Simple as that. Here's a tweet from Mark Potash. He covers the Bears at the Chicago Sun-Times. Quote, Carson Wentz's entire body of work indicates that he's similar to Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles in one regard. He needs a really well-oiled machine around him to succeed. Weapons, protection, run game, and a good offensive game plan. Bears are lacking in many of those areas. So, end quote, that's it. Right, so what? What do you think's going to happen? He's not going to come here and win a Super Bowl. He may not make the playoffs if he comes here. So why do you want him so bad? What makes him attractive as a quarterback option? Oh, I know what it is. His name isn't Mitch Trubisky, so it's okay. Look, I'll say this. I'd rather see Nick Foles start next year than Wentz. Not kidding. The Bears already have him on the books. Pay him, let him start, go 4-12, 5-11, and rebuild. Instead, you're pawning away the future. You're going to pay part of his salary, at least, if not all of it, for Wentz. And you might end up with the same record. I'd rather see Nick Foles. Why not? Wentz needs a good team around him. Like every quarterback, really, but Wentz specifically needs a really good team around him. I know he didn't have much in Philly, believe me. I mean, when you're throwing to Travis Fulgham, and that's your number one wide receiver, yes, that's a problem. I know. But what more do the Bears offer? We still don't know about Allen Robinson. Even if he comes back, what, Robinson and Mooney? If Robinson goes, Mooney? Mooney's a good wide receiver, not a number one. Not yet. Then who's behind Mooney? Anthony Miller, Javon Wims, they're going to be cut. So what do you have? What could you offer? You'll have David Montgomery, great running back. Beat up offensive line, regressing defense. Do you expect Wentz to win in that scenario? Oh, he has a higher ceiling than Mitch. He'll be fine. Mitch didn't do bad here. And that's what he dealt with. The Bears made the playoffs in spite of all of that stuff going on this year. With Mitch. You think Wentz is going to do the same? I don't. Tweet from Mike North. Wentz, 57% completion percentage last year. 2,600 yards, 16 touchdowns, 15 picks. Mitch, 67% completion percentage. 2,055 yards, 16 touchdowns, 8 picks. You could say the Bears faced an easy schedule. Doesn't matter. Mitch performed, even Nick Foles performed better than Wentz. 65% completion percentage. Not bad. 10 touchdowns, 8 picks. I'll take that. I'd rather have that. It's become apparent to me, it should have become to you a long time ago, Ryan Pace just can't do it when it comes to quarterback. It's a shame, because he's made some great moves over the years. He has. I give him credit. But he can't strike it right with the number one position in the game. Mike Lennon, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, now Carson Wentz? Are you kidding me? I don't get it. I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm more so disgusted. How are you in a bidding war with the Colts for Carson Wentz? So many other options out there, but that's the guy you want. Sure. Could bring back Mitch on a team-friendly deal, 1 year, $15 million, $20 million even. Could bring back Nick Foles, just have him start. He's already on the books. Could trap somebody. Could go after Deshaun Watson. Could have went after Matthew Stafford, but no, you're fine with Wentz. I was against giving up so much for Deshaun Watson, even Matthew Stafford. In retrospect, though, had I known the Bears were going to offer 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz, at that point, sell the whole farm. Go all in for Deshaun Watson. Offer up 3 first-rounders, a couple of players, money, whatever it might be. Because if you're willing to pawn off that much of the future for a Mitch Trubisky-esque quarterback, then you might as well go all in on the top prize out there. Why not? What do you have to lose? It's just so sickening. Horrible. Horrible stuff. I challenge Bears fans, when they watch games next year, if Wentz is here, I challenge them to be as unbiased as they were with Mitch. Because you're going to see fumbles, interceptions, bad throws, near interceptions. Near interceptions, you're going to see that too. I can't wait to see how people react. My guess is it'll all be okay. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. His name isn't Mitch. It's good. I don't get it. The Bears should be wanting more. Fans should be wanting more than this. What happened to the idea that the Bears were going all in for next year? They need to win. Everyone's job's on the line. You're going to invest your future in Carson Wentz. I wish him well. If he comes here, I wish him well. I'll be rooting for him. Don't worry. I just can't get over that you'd give up actual draft capital for a guy who's similar to Mitch. Because I know the other way around, it wouldn't happen. I know it. If Mitch Trubisky did all this stuff in Philadelphia, he was on the market. And we all knew about him. Every single person unanimously would be against making the move. You know it. I know it. But this is okay. Why gamble when you're worried about your job? Why gamble when you know what schedule you have next year? Why gamble when you're supposedly going all in? All in to me means getting a proven veteran, means getting somebody who's proven himself in the NFL. Carson Wentz has, but not last year, not his rookie year. He's had 3 good years, 2 bad ones. Mitch, 2 good years, 2 bad ones. They should be asking for a consistent quarterback. Matthew Stafford, fine at that point. If it's between Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz, we'd all pick Stafford. Watson, Wentz, we'd all pick Watson. I think the Bears' definition of all in is different than ours completely. All in means bona fide starter. He comes here, Bears win. That's it. Not, well, he kind of was a project last year, got benched for Jalen Hurts, but we'll bring him in and see if we could rectify him. No. That's not going all in. I don't know what that is, to be honest. Settling for mediocrity, 8-8 record, something around there. That's what that is. It's not. We're Super Bowl champions now. It's more so, well, we'll see what we could do. I don't get it. Fortunately, a lot of Bears fans know this is a bad move. For those who don't, I implore you, please look back at Wentz's stats. Watch some footage. Remember what he's really capable of. Understand he's pretty similar to Mitch. And why give up draft capital for that? If the situation was different, you wouldn't give up draft capital for Mitch. Why do it then for Wentz? When the Bears say they're all in, what does that mean? This isn't an all-in move. Plain and simple. I wish Wentz the best. If he comes here, hope he does great. Hope his career is rectified. New Wentz, new guy, he'll succeed. I don't see it happening, though. And this is going to be a big debacle for the Bears. So I ask you, if you support this move or this trade, do yourself a favor and just do some research. Just look into it a little bit. Understand who Carson Wentz is as a quarterback. If you were driven crazy by Mitch Trubisky, you're going to have a heart attack when Wentz is on the field. More fumbles, more picks, more incompletions, more near interceptions. Just think about it. Understand the truth. This isn't a winning move. This is, let's stay mired in mediocrity. Let's get Wentz and pass him off as this savior, when in reality, he won't do much. Let's give up draft capital to get, in essence, Mitch Trubisky. Think about it that way. I really hope more people understand the significance of this move. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope all these rumors are false, but I doubt it. And I hope the Bears can reevaluate their priorities, because right now, this won't do anything. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Jared Diamond comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $253 to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $253 on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. NBA, the Bulls are back. College basketball. NHL, Blackhawks. Lots of opportunities to put down some money and make a whole lot more back. At sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John DeBluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the author of Swing Kings and a national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal. Please welcome Jared Diamond to the program. Jared, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I am hanging in there on a very snowy day here in New Jersey. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. What was your reaction to the Baseball Hall of Fame results last week?
I wasn't surprised at all. I think it was clear it was heading this direction. Honestly, perhaps as far back as last year's balloting, it already seemed like to me there was a chance there would be nobody elected this year. And as 2020 went on into early 21, I think that became even more clear. This was a very strange ballot. It was a ballot that I admit made me happy to not be a voter at this point, because you look at it and you just see so many great players on it who have so many question marks and issues off the field. And I'm not lumping them together. I sort of lump them into two groups. On the one side, you have players who we know or suspected of using PEDs. And I think we realize at this point that those players have polarized voters. Guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens at the top of that class, and of course some others as well, clearly have polarized voters. There does not seem to be any consensus on how to handle them. It certainly doesn't seem like there's any chance that any of these players have a chance of getting to 75%. So that sort of eliminates a bunch of really great players from getting in. And then you have this other group of players who have other sort of off-field issues. Of course, Curt Schilling being the biggest example of this, his Twitter account, the things that he has tweeted that in some cases have been misogynistic, homophobic, Islamophobic, and of course, anti-journalist as well. A few years ago, he tweeted conspiracy theories about the election. He tweeted support for the Capitol rioters last month. Very likely those tweets have kept Curt Schilling out of the Hall of Fame, but you put it all together and it just makes for a very difficult ballot. And I think that's why nobody got in.
If you did vote this year, what would your ballot look like?
Look, I don't have an exact ballot. I haven't really totally looked through it. I know for me personally, I would vote for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and probably some other players who have been suspected of using PEDs. I do believe to a large extent this is a generational issue. I'm 33 years old. I grew up watching baseball in the 90s and into the early 2000s. And when I was a kid, everyone was using PEDs. It just was the game. I've never known baseball without PEDs in them. It's always been sort of my frame of reference for the game. And to me, I'm just being myself, not putting guys like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and Manny Ramirez and even Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa into the Hall of Fame. To me, it sort of feels like it's erasing my really fond memories of baseball as a kid to just sort of not include this entire era because of PEDs. I think for so many kids that watch these guys play, they probably have the same attitude I have, which is, you know, yeah, maybe they did this thing, but they still played. They still were the players that sort of got me to love baseball, and they should be recognized as such. That's my perspective on it. As for some of the other players on the ballot, I think the one guy that hasn't necessarily gotten that much support yet that I would vote for personally is Todd Helton. I think he's a guy that I think deserves more consideration. I also think we'll get more consideration as his time on the ballot continues.
Where do you stand on A-Rod and David Ortiz when they appear next year?
Yeah, that's a little bit more, a little trickier of a situation for me personally. I think it's easier to draw a line with PEDs, sort of the pre-testing and post-testing days. For me, I borderline don't care at all about players that took PEDs before 2004, 2005. Major League Baseball wasn't testing for steroids. If Major League Baseball isn't testing for steroids, to me, that's sort of a tacit acknowledgement that they're okay. Right. I don't really blame anybody for using PEDs before they were outright banned and sort of tested for. After that, it's a little bit trickier, but I still think I would vote for Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz, even though now David Ortiz is different. He never was suspended. Alex Rodriguez was. I still think I would vote for him. And the reason for that is, look, they're on the ballot. If the Hall of Fame wanted to ban players who use PEDs, they could make a rule saying players suspended for PEDs are not allowed to be on the Hall of Fame ballot. They already have a rule like that that keeps Pete Rose off the ballot and Joe Jackson from being considered. You're on the permanently ineligible list. You are ineligible to be voted into the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame made that rule. If the Hall of Fame wants to make a rule saying players who are suspended for using PEDs can't go into the Hall of Fame, fine. But other than that, look, he was suspended from baseball, Alex Rodriguez. He paid his punishment. He served his time, so to speak. And now he's in good standing with the Hall of Fame. And therefore, to me, his performance certainly makes him Hall of Fame worthy. And I would vote for him in as well. That's just me.
Jared Diamond here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jared, are the Cardinals the favorites in the NL Central now?
Yeah, no question. Yes. The NL Central has been, let's say it's been quiet this offseason. Maybe that's sort of the nice way of putting it. It sort of looked like, does any team want to go out and try to win the NL Central? And the St. Louis Cardinals said, yes, we would like to. So they go out and soon will add Nolan Arenado. It looks like you have a lineup now back-to-back that includes Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. That's pretty great. Look, it's not like I look at the Cardinals even with Nolan Arenado and think, man, this is a great team. No, they're still not a great team. It's still a team, I think, with flaws. I don't think it's really not as good to me as the top two teams in both the NL East and the NL West, at least. But I think they've emerged as sort of the cream of the NL Central. And I don't think it's going to take, too many wins to win the NL Central.
Are you at all concerned about the Coors Field effect? Will he have the same performance in St. Louis as he did in Colorado?
Yeah, look, you never know for sure, right? It's always a question with anyone that comes from Colorado. And then you can look at Arenado's splits. I'm sure the Cardinals know way more about it than you or I do. But you can look at Arenado's splits, and certainly he's better at home. That's not a question. You know, he's a lifetime 985 OPS at Coors Field, 793 away from Coors Field. But there's a couple of things about that I think need to be sort of acknowledged. One of them, look, the Cardinals, first of all, have had great success in the past with a player that came from Colorado. We all remember the Cardinals acquired Matt Holliday, who had the same questions when he went from Colorado, first briefly to Oakland and then ultimately to St. Louis. He was fine, sort of an example of a player who was great in Colorado, showing he could be great anywhere. And I think the other important thing to remember is that splits when you play for the Rockies, they're not exactly as telling as I think some people think. Playing for the Rockies does impact your splits, in part because of Coors Field, of course, but also because when you go away from Coors Field, when you play for the Rockies and play half the season there, every Rockies player will say this, that it affects your road numbers, not just because you're no longer in the altitude, because things are just weird at Coors Field. Your body feels weird when you play half your games at Coors Field and then you go on the road. Suddenly you're a lot more pain. You don't feel right. Curveballs break differently. The fastballs run differently. The spin of the ball is different. And it's something that only players that play for Colorado have to experience because they're there for 81 games. They're there for 10 days at a time, seeing curveballs break a certain way, seeing the ball move a certain way, and then going on the road and the ball's moving differently. Other players don't have to deal with that, going to Coors for just 3 days and then getting out. So I think we could very well, we'll certainly see his home numbers come down, of course. He's not going to OPS 2,000 at home or whatever. But I do believe that we'll see that the splits sort of come closer together now that he's not playing 81 games at Coors Field. And I don't have any fear that Nolan Arenado is not a great player. Nolan Arenado is a great baseball player, whether he plays in Colorado, St. Louis, or anywhere else.
What does this trade mean for the Cubs season and their chances in the Central?
It'll be tough. It's not just this trade. It's also moves the Cubs have made throughout this offseason. I don't think you could really look at the Cubs and think this is the team that is really vying for a championship in 2001. You know, Jed Hoyer sort of called it a reset, not a rebuild. And yeah, I think that's sort of a good way of putting it. They're certainly not going all out to try to win this year. But that said, I mean, there's still the Cubs. There's still things you like about them. Like, you still are running out of lineup every day. That includes Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and Javier Baez. I mean, that's a really nice sort of core in the middle of your lineup. Their pitching's obviously taking a big hit. No Yu Darvish, no John Lester anymore. So while I don't think the Cubs are just like out of it, I think they still have a chance to be good. And if their offense does what we think it can do, they still have a chance to compete. But certainly you don't get a sense that the Chicago Cubs are looking at 21 as sort of a championship season right now.
What do you think of the Jock Peterson signing?
I like Jock Peterson. What's there not to like? He's a good player. He's going to hit for some power. I think he'll do well there. I think he'll probably do well. He'll have sort of a bigger role in Chicago than he's had in Los Angeles in recent years when he was doing a lot of platooning, when he wasn't playing every day. Sort of that's the nature of the beast when you play for the Dodgers, that unless you're Mookie Betts or Cody Bellinger or Corey Seager, you're probably not playing every day. That's just sort of how they do business. I think he'll do well. Of course, he'll like playing in Wrigley Field after playing in Dodger Stadium for all these years. So that's the sort of move that tells you that the Cubs are not like punting. They're certainly not, like I said, they're not totally rebuilding. They are still sort of trying to win, and they still view this team as capable. And I guess that's sort of how you do sort of a small reset where, yeah, you start looking for the future, but you don't have to totally give up on the present. And that's sort of what I see the Cubs doing. They are still trying to compete in 21, but they're not going to do anything that they think will mortgage the future even one bit right now.
More to come with Jared Diamond in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Jared Diamond here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jared, what's your take on the current MLB labor negotiations?
So I guess my first thing would be I would take a quibble a little bit with the word negotiations, because I don't think anything that's happening right now is a negotiation, because I think a negotiation by definition requires two parties to be participating in it. And there are not two parties participating in this conversation right now. Major League Baseball wants to delay the season, shorten the season. That's what they want to do. The players union does not. There is a contract in place already, the collective bargaining agreement, the basic agreement that calls for 162 games. And basically, if the players union says, nope, we're good with the status quo, we want to play all 162, start on time, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Major League Baseball has virtually no recourse to do anything about it. So look, will this change between now and spring training? Will suddenly MLB make an offer the union can't refuse and they're willing to push it back? Yeah, I guess it's possible. But as we sit here right now, MLB made a proposal over the weekend, and the expectation in the industry is that it's going to be rejected without a counteroffer. I don't think anyone expects it to even really warrant further negotiations from the players union. So I guess we'll see y'all in 2 weeks in Florida and Arizona, at least right now.
What does that mean for the universal DH and the other rules that we saw from last year? Will those still be in play this year?
They could make an agreement to add them, but as we sit here right now, no. As we sit here right now, the rules will be the same as they are in a normal year, not 2020 rules. The playoffs will be the old, you know, five teams per league playoff format. Now, could they come to sort of a side agreement to add these things? Yeah, I mean, they could, But based on the tenor of their conversation so far, I wouldn't count on it. But, you know, we'll see. They didn't add the expanded playoffs last year until, like, I think after the season started. So, you know, we've seen some weird stuff with these guys.
How do you feel about expanded playoffs? Did you like the format last year?
I'm not anti-expanded playoffs philosophically. I think there's a way to do it in a good way that benefits the whole industry. I did not like the format last year. I think 16 teams is clearly too many. You could maybe sell me on 12 or 14. Like, I don't need there to be expanded playoffs. I'm happy with the way things are, and I do love how the baseball regular season is what it is. It should be hard to make the playoffs in baseball, but to me, whatever you do, however you decide to tweak it, I think they need to make sure they are still valuing the regular season and that they're still valuing teams that are great in the regular season. The problem with the format last year was that it put these really good teams into this three-game series, which is just to be completely ridiculous that a team that wins 100 games would have to go into a three-game series against a team that potentially won 78, 80, 82 games. It's just, to me, that's just not in the spirit of baseball. So I think there is a way to do it, we have to make sure that teams that succeed in the regular season are still being treated with sort of the respect and reverence they deserve. Baseball kind of got lucky last year because just it turned out that the number one team in each league made it to the World Series. Los Angeles was the one in the National League. Tampa Bay was the one in the American League. They both went to the World Series. They kind of dodged a bullet because if they keep with that format, I promise you there's going to be a year before too long where the 102-win Yankees lose in the first round to like the 78-win, you know, the Tigers or whatever, and it'll be ridiculous and everybody will hate it. So just something to think about.
How do you feel about the universal DH too? Is that set in stone to come to baseball soon?
I'd be absolutely shocked. I'd be surprised if we don't have it in 2021, if I'm being honest. But I'd be absolutely stunned if it's not part of the CBA starting in 22 as they head into negotiations. I think everybody wants it. And I don't mean all fans. I know there's fans that don't, some. I'm sure a fairly sizable number. But both the league and the union, I think, at this point are on board with this. They agree that it's good for the game. I'm for it. I was against it for a long time, to be honest. I was, you know, purist, I guess you would say, whatever. I've totally changed my tune, I would say, in the last 4 or 5 years on this issue. I just, you know, and last year only solidified it. I have to admit there was literally not one instance last season when I was watching a baseball game and thought to myself, you know, it would be great right now, the pitcher coming to bat. never crossed my mind once. So I'm all for it. I think it's time to normalize the rules among the, you know, between the two leagues. And I also just think we need more exciting players. We need more offense. No one wants to see pitchers hitting. It isn't fun. It's not exciting. It's not interesting. Let's just let it go to bed here.
Jared Diamond, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jared, two more questions before we finish out. First off, the most memorable event that you've covered is what?
Oh, that's an easy one. The Cubs winning the World Series in 2016. nothing. I don't know how you top that as a, you know, that was just unbelievable, right? I mean, yeah, there's something fun when you know you are watching history happen, right? And that's what that felt like. So that to me is easy one.
And Jared, before we finish up today, last question, what's the most bizarre story you've covered in your career?
Most bizarre. Interesting. What qualifies as bizarre here? I don't know. I mean, look, the Astros cheating scandal was pretty weird, I have to say. Covering the Wilpons and Madoff has been pretty weird through the years. You know, you don't ever expect something like that. Yeah, those are a couple that come to mind. I'm sure there's other weird ones I'm not thinking about, so forgive me, but those are the ones that are coming to mind right away.
Well, Jared, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, and best wishes as spring training starts up and the season gets going here in 2021. Thank you so much.
Man, I hope so. I would love 162 games, so let's hope for the best.
Great talk there with Jared Diamond, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Jared Diamond himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalb, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Here are the Turtles!